This passage comes from page 102 of White Boy Shuffle. I chose it because it came at, I felt that it came at an important point in the novel. Gunnar has just returned from an evening of shooting up the neighbourhood with the gun-toting hooligans. It's Halloween night and Pumpkin has just died. Gunnar has come a long way from the seaside bumpkin he once called himself, and he has achieved the acceptance and gang affiliation he once so desperately craved. He and his life have undergone a change, and I think that this is one of the points in the novel in which both we and he realise this most clearly. Gunnar describes the experience as circling the neighbourhood in some R-rated carousel. Familiar landmarks blur into the sunrise, the stupid merry-go-round music refusing to go away. This description is very effective in conveying to the reader how Gunnar must be feeling. The blurred landscape and never-ending music create a sense of some nightmare carousel that is impossible to get off. The ride is meant to be fun, but keeps going round and around and around. Gunnar cannot escape or leave, but must complete his ride with the gun-toting hooligans. When he gets off his own ride, just like a boy who's been too long on a carousel, he throws up. This action also serves to indicate how ill this new identity sits with him. The word carousel also evokes ideas of childhood and childhood innocence. However, this carousel is R-rated, and Beatty manages to create a sense of a sort of parody of childhood. The Grand Theft hooligans are themselves little more than children, but their games are games of violence. This idea is repeated later in the novel, when the boys don disguises to avenge Pumpkin's death. That scene is reminiscent of a game of dress-up gone horribly awry. Gunnar tells his mother that he's becoming so black it's a shame. It is a shame because he does not want to change this context, but is aware that he is changing, and perhaps not in a way that will serve him best. He wants to tell her how he feels, as if he's in a never-ending log-rolling contest. This simile is a very powerful one. Once again, Beatty uses a phrase that completely sums up the essence of the sentiment he wishes to convey. He uses only a few sentences, but they are very descriptive and help the reader to truly understand Gunnar's feelings. He says so much in such a short space of time. Using the simile of a log-rolling contest, the reader is able to understand the idea of imminent danger and the need to be constantly alert and changing. The idea of always moving and running and frantically trying to keep your balance in order to stay upright and alive. There's no time to ask for reasons or answers. There's no time to look around, ask questions. All energies are fixed on one single act. There's also the implicit understanding that at one point you must fall off. For a brief moment, the humour of the book disappears and there's a moment of seriousness. The humour quickly returns the last line of the paragraph though, and the tone of the novel is sustained. The dream that follows is particularly interesting. The dream occurs in response to a change in Gunnar and his identity. He has entered a new period in his life. In the dream, he's chasing a white boy down the stairs. He's both nameless and faceless. The boy could be seen to be a symbol of white people in general, or of Gunnar's past self and life, and the comfort that he felt therein. He says, "The boy and I used to be friends, but he had wronged me somehow, though I couldn't say exactly how. And he and I both knew that the transgression merited death." Gunnar has changed, and his new black identity means that he can no longer be friends with the boy, and also that as a white boy, he's harmed him, and badly so. The lines of colour and difference are becoming more strictly drawn in Gunnar's life, and he's understanding what should be and is in his new world. Beatty references a nuclear threat or a hurricane, and he describes a traffic light as swaying wildly in the wind. This gives us a sense of a huge crisis, disaster, and the scene appears almost apocalyptic. After Gunnar shoots the boy, there are no blood or bullets. Perhaps it is not about the violence, but rather about the death of the white boy. Gunnar has become someone different, and so this tie or this friendship must be ended. After he shoots him, he wonders whether he's hero or criminal, and we are reminded how confused he is. Gunnar does not know what he is or should be or wants to be. In killing the white boy, he does not know whether he's done wrong or right, and he is at odds with himself and his world. Psycho Loco, perhaps the ultimate gangster exaggeration, takes his place and takes the fall for his act. Psycho Loco takes his place because he's going to college. Although Gunnar might have changed, both he and those around him understand that he is different. He does not fully embrace this new life or this new identity. The last line of the paragraph is perfectly illustrative of how much he has changed, though. It says, "I awoke recalling that it hadn't been long ago when I was the only black person in my dreams. Now I was shooting white kids in the street." We once again understand quite how different his life has become, and also how confused he is. I think this passage is a good one because it showcases Beatty's talent for description and his ability to say exactly what is necessary. It also marks an important point in Gunnar's life and underscores the confusion and difficulty of his situation.